Ready for God's Word? I am too. Let's stand and let's read out of Titus this morning. So Titus chapter 2 as you're standing. And we're going through the Gospel of John. Last Sunday, Pastor Scott brought a message out of John chapter 14. And a real sense of encouragement. Next Sunday, listen up, next Sunday, our young adults, they're taking the service. I'm here, you're here, we're here. JJ will be bringing the message. The young adults will be doing the worship, the communion. We're just providing, as a fellowship, an opportunity. As if we're a training and equipping ministry, we need to provide those opportunities. And they're looking forward to it so much. So they're going to really be here next Sunday. And JJ is going to pick it up in John chapter 14, starting like about verse 13, 14, right in there to the end, about the Holy Spirit. And you remember a few weeks ago, I gave the message, the power of the towel, being that servant. And it needs to be demonstrated. We're here to serve one another, encourage one another. Amen? So I wanted to bring a message this morning, and it fits where we're at, actually. Because there's been a lot of communication recently about Jesus Christ and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I want to give a biblical, clear presentation this morning about our blessed hope in Jesus. So let's look in Titus chapter 2 and in verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." Let's pray. Father, over this word and this message, we thank you, Lord. And I ask specifically for your blessing as we bring this message forth, that you'd be glorified, that we'd understand in a greater way the closeness of your return, that our hearts and lives would desire to be purified, that we would desire to be zealous for good works, and Lord, that we would look each day expectantly to please you and to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Years ago, Pastor David Hawking was giving a message about the second coming of Christ. His opening illustration is one that I will borrow right now. He spoke about this individual that had just completed Bible school, seminary. He graduated. He is so excited. He felt he had his first message. It was deep in his heart. He was ready to give it. It was a message about the second coming of Christ. And the title of the message was, "Behold, I Come Quickly." And so in school, it was told to the students that sometimes when you're ready to give a message, you got it in your heart, you got it in your mind, you're ready to give it, but all of a sudden things freeze and you just don't know what to say next. And so the professor in the Bible seminary says, what you need to do is just repeat the title of the message and then it'll come to you. So the seminary student in his first message, small church, "Behold, I come quickly." Everything went blank. And so he repeated again, "Behold, I come quickly." He couldn't think of what to say next. With even more enthusiasm, he says, "Behold, I come quickly." And when he said that, in his enthusiasm, he hit the podium and it dropped on the lady in the front row. He was so embarrassed, he went down and he says, "Ma'am, I am so sorry." She says, "Look, you warned me three times." When we're looking at the text this morning and we're looking at the title, "Looking for the Blessed Hope and Glorious Appearing of Our Great God and Savior, Jesus Christ," there's three points that I'd like to bring in this message. Number one, to learn from Him. Number two, to look to Him. And number three, to live for Him. We want to learn from Him, we want to look to Him, and we want to live for Him. You say, you know what? What does it really matter regarding the second coming of Christ. He's coming. I believe it. So what's the big deal? It's very big and it's very important. You must understand that teaching from the book of Revelation, through the book of Revelation, teaching about the second coming of Christ does not happen. It doesn't happen. You may hear the messages on a radio, perhaps, but I'm asking you, in our own community, and just drive down I-5, how many people are proclaiming and teaching their people about the second coming of Christ, what the Bible has to say about that, and our understanding about the nation Israel and our place right now as a church? People stray away from it. They're afraid of it. But Jesus said there's a great blessing, and your people need to hear it and need to know about this. And so, when Daniel was ministering, in the book of Daniel is a very prophetic book. To understand prophecy, you need to understand Daniel. In Daniel's ministry, in Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar, the king, had been doing some very terrible things. He took what was known as the sacred vessels of the temple, and he brought these vessels in, and they were just having a party. They were drinking from these sacred vessels. And what had happened is, in the midst of this, there was a handwriting on the wall. You can read it in Daniel 5. A handwriting, a literal handwriting on the wall. And they were scared, and it says his knees were shaking. It's in Daniel 5. But the writing was on the wall, and nobody could interpret what the writing was. It was right there. It was on the wall. Even the king's wise men could not understand. They did not know what the writing on the wall was about. What does it say? And what does it mean? And so they found Daniel, and Daniel gave the interpretation. The interpretation was basically, king, your life has been weighed in the balances. You've been found wanting, and it's over. Your days are over. And I'd like to suggest this. The handwriting is on the wall right now. Today, in these days in which we live, the handwriting is on the wall, and I don't think many people understand what is being said. The handwriting is on the wall. It's really clear. Look at, we know that last week there was the false prophet that proclaimed that last Saturday would be Judgment Day. Prior to that, the week leading up to it, I sent a proposition out on Facebook, and I said to all those who will miss the falsely predicted May 21st judgment, we will be open Sunday, May 22nd, worshiping Jesus, studying His Word, and it was true. Pastor Scott was here. I also suggested, if you are a May 21st Judgment Day believer, would you be willing to sign your car over this week to some people in our fellowship who desperately need transportation? I did not receive any response. And I know on the Guide Meridian, driving back and forth, there were vehicles available, because I've seen the signs, unfortunately. I mean, people need to be accountable for what they're saying. A prophet is accountable for what he says. And if it doesn't come true, he's a false prophet. And those who follow the false prophets are greatly deceived. Before it happened, I also made a statement. 2 days before, it was, who will be judged on May 21st, Judgment Day? My answer, the false prophet and his followers. The excuse they will give for their failed predictions, what is it? Their excuse will be, again, this was 2 days in advance, more spiritual deception that promotes themselves and condemns others. What should I do? We should know Jesus and know His Word. So when the false prediction became true to everybody, what was the response? The 89-year-old false prophet said basically that on May 21st, it had been a spiritual judgment day, which places the entire world under Christ's judgment, which will be coming October 21st. Listen, just like I said, it just promotes more deception and the condemnation of others. And the reason that I bring this up is because if you are like me, through this period of time, there was a lot of enhanced discussion, especially as the weekend happened. We were down in California, with just the opening line with about everybody making light of the judgment day. And I understand that. But at the same time, my heart is grieved by that. Why? because I believe that there's the enemy, Satan, and he loves to take these opportunities to bring his deceptive schemes over people's hearts and minds. In other words, because I believe in the second coming of Christ, I believe in the imminent return of Christ. He could come at any time. I believe that. I totally believe that. I believe we're living in the last days. I believe the things that we're seeing right now are things talked about in Scripture. Jesus Christ is coming at any time for us and for His church. I believe in the rapture of the church. I believe in the tribulation period. I believe in Christ's return to earth. I believe in a 1,000-year millennium where Christ reigns and rules on this earth. But I'm in a minority with that belief. But I proclaim to you what I believe and what I believe from the Bible, and you need to know that. But that is a minority position if you're involved in the body of Christ right now. And that's sad to me. Again, people aren't teaching the body of Christ, the Word of God, and about Revelation. This is the most exciting thing. You see, what you believe determines how you live. That's absolutely true. What I believe determines how I live. So let me just give an illustration. Let's say that I believed, and I don't, but let's say that I believed that we, the church, would be going through the tribulation period. Let's just take that as a premise. As your pastor, I love you, I care for you, we serve you, we're here, we're committed, we've been doing it, we've got a track record. Right? Hopefully you know that. If we were going through the tribulation, brothers and sisters, listen. If I believed we're living in the last days, which I do, and if I believe the church was going through the tribulation, and I don't believe that, but if that were true, then I would be looking right now. Listen, I'd be looking for ways to help accommodate our fellowship through that 7-year tribulation period. I love you and I care about you. We would be having meetings about what to do. It's a sense of urgency. These are last days. What are we going to do? How are we going to care for the body? You cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast. We can't take of the mark of the beast. What are we going to do? How are we going to do that? Where are we going to go? How are we going to provide? How am I going to help lead this fellowship? Do you understand that? That would be my heart. And I'd be concentrating on taking care of our fellowship because of the days in which we live. Absolutely. Would I be looking for the blessed and glorious return of Jesus Christ? No, I'd be looking for the reality of the tribulation and the tribulation leader, which is called the Antichrist, and then at the end. Would it be the imminent return of Christ? No, because he'll be coming at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. So when we're looking at our scriptures and we're seeing right here back in verse 11, there's three things to look at here. Again, as I said, to be able to learn from him. First and foremost, when we're looking at verse 11, the wonderful thing we learn about our God is His grace. And it's the grace of God that leads us to salvation. We're saved by His grace. And His grace that saves us is His grace that sustains us. Listen, think it through with me. Be like the Bereans, the scripture said that they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Please, search the scriptures. I'm absolutely accountable to God and to you and to my other ministry, senior pastors and leaders. I'm accountable. So we record it. You can have it. Search the scriptures. If something isn't right, we need to talk about it and to need to work it through. But I'm not shy or bashful or hesitant in any way declaring where I'm at regarding the scriptures and regarding the end times. My position has bothered people. It's bothered people enough that they don't want to come here anymore. Because I believe in Israel. I believe God has a calling on Israel. I don't believe the church has replaced Israel. Israel has a unique place in history. And the promises and the covenant that God made to Israel, they stand today. They're everlasting covenants that he has for them. Back to the grace. We love it. The grace. Look in verse 11. It's the grace of God that brings salvation. So, for example, what I'm saying right now, if you aren't certain that if you were to die tonight, that you would go to heaven, then I would like to postpone all the rest of this message right now, and I'd like to just speak to whoever needs to be saved. That's the first and foremost. That's the most important, is salvation. How to be saved. How does that work? When we were down in California and being able to talk to different family members, and it's really encouraging. Remember when I have 9 brothers and sisters, and not everybody was there to celebrate my daughter and my niece's graduation. They both graduated at the same time. But if everybody was there, there's about 45 of us, and that's just with my brothers and sisters, their spouses and kids. Okay, so that's where we're at. So it's like a little church. Man, you got it going. It's a wonderful. But it's interesting just to have different conversations, and some understand the grace of God and others don't. But it was great to give some testimonies again back, because I didn't understand the grace of God and I wasn't saved growing up. And it's the grace of God. In other words, understanding that I could never measure up. And I tried spiritually to measure up. I tried to impress God. I tried to take the rules and the regulations and rules and regulations without a relationship produces rebellion. Listen, rules and regulations without a relationship produces rebellion. I went to parochial school. We're some of the most rebellious kids around. We were pretty much framed in with a lot of rules and regulations, but there was no relationship. Parents, if all you're doing is downloading rules and regulations, you're going to produce rebellion. You must have a relationship with your children. You must have a relationship with them. And in that relationship that we have with God, it's a relationship based on His grace and His love for us. And that's what it's saying. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. In other words, another important point that I want to make right now is I personally believe that the scriptures say that God's salvation is for everyone in this whole world. Some people will say, no, His shed blood on the cross is only for those that are going to be saved. In other words, follow it a little bit further, and the conclusion is God created some for salvation and He created some for damnation, and I don't believe that at all. I believe that Christ's death on the cross is for the entire world. Whoever believes in Him will be saved. Whoever believes in Him. Listen, back to the point. I believe in His imminent return. What I believe determines how I live. If I didn't believe this to be true, if I wasn't certain whether in fact you were elected or called or chosen or not, how difficult would that be? You come in for counseling and I'm saying, I'm so glad you're here and I'm so sorry about your life problems and situations. And God is the one that's going to help us. God is the one that's going to help you through this. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you come to know His love and His forgiveness? Have you known Christ? That's going to be where we're going to start. But see, if I don't know whether or not that person's to be saved or not to be saved, then I don't know if I can in a good conscience offer salvation if in fact maybe they're not to be saved. That's foolish. God says, I've come to save all people. All people. His grace for all people. His shed blood for all people. Whoever believes in Him. God so loved the world. He loved the world. Not just those that respond to Him. He loves the world. He's calling each and every one. When everyone faces Him face to face in the very end, there's no discussion. Somebody that's rejected Him, they cannot say that they were not loved by Him, because God loves them. Whether they respond or not, that love is evident, because every knee will bow. And it's the reason every knee bows is not because He's over them with some heavy-handed judgment. It's because of their sinfulness in the presence of His holiness. He's right. We're wrong. A relationship with God based on His grace, it's appeared to all men. Now, when we're looking at this, it says we want to learn from Him. And so teaching us, and here it is, in this relationship, by grace, He teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Does it matter what I believe? Yes. How was I saved? By grace. How should I live? Graciously. How do you live graciously? You no longer do the things you used to do. It's the grace that saved me, and the grace is so powerful, but it's that powerful grace of God that helps us in our relationships with one another and with Him. The Holy Spirit coming upon us changes our lives. The Lord fills us, and our desire now is no longer to be trafficking in the world and worldliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. I was reading something recently, and I don't have it all down exactly, but just off my mind right now, it seemed as though the entire prophets from the Apple Corporation and from Google, from Yahoo, and another one of those companies, all of those combined is less than the money made on pornography each year. This is the world we're living in right now. It's unlike any other time in human history. We have seen and we continue to see. Oh, the tornado that just happened. It's the worst that it's been known. Or one of the worst. The earthquakes. The tsunamis. Just, they're backing on top of each other. The kingdoms against kingdom. This world in conflict with one another. The nuclear power. The threats. Do we use a colored scale to let you know where things are at? It's always elevated. You're supposed to be always on the alert. Always on the alert. And these are the days that we live in. I was listening to a recent teaching, and we'll bring it here. It's on a video. It's called Riptide. And it's a presentation of really how God worked through the Jesus movement throughout our world and certainly through the movement of Calvary Chapel. But it was interesting because they were saying back in the 60s and 70s, which is when I graduated and was in college, graduated in 71 from high school and college, but there was a sense within our lives, and I know it, I feel it, I experience it. It was looking for peace and looking for love. And you knew the sign love, didn't you? And you know the sign peace. But peace and love were the combinations. People were looking for that. We're looking in the wrong places. Obviously, the music came up, and with the lyrics and the drug culture came in. But there was a great protest on college campuses. Banks were being burned. And, you know, President Kennedy was shot. I remember that. I remember that happening. I was in a Catholic school and right around praying. Robert Kennedy shot. We saw him the night before. He went down our street in L.A., 2 blocks from where we lived. I was on the sidewalk watching him. Martin Luther King. Vietnam War. Great upheaval. I believe our nation was on the... If you think back in a reflective way, how close we were to destruction. But God poured out His Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, God's Holy Spirit came in an incredible way and at an incredible time. We're not living in the past. We're identifying what happened. Because of what happened, the outpouring of His Holy Spirit, thousands of ministries have been started. And a worldwide outreach has come from that time period. And the ministries that you enjoy on the radio and TV and others all came from this time. Where sin abound, grace abound all the more. Peace, love, it was found in Jesus Christ. It was found in His Word. But the two characteristics today is hatred and violence. That's today. That's on the menu today. Hatred and violence. That's what's being cultivated and being stirred. The games that our young kids are raised up and playing in just this world and the things that are out there. It's violence. You know, back in the 60s and 70s, you know, going downtown, living in L.A. or living whatever, I never had to watch my back. I never was worried. It was love. It was peace. Really. I mean, there's other sins that were around, obviously. But today, when I'm with my family, okay, who's here and who's there? And what's going on here? It's just a different world. Things are more intense. Things are happening with greater frequency. We're living in the biblical last days spoken about. As a matter of fact, once you understand this grace of God that leads to salvation and the grace of God that helps us in our daily life, and we're looking at the next point, and that is to look to Him. And we are looking to Him. And so you say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming back? Yes. And listen to the word again. I believe in the imminent return. I-M-M-I-N-E-N-T, the imminent return. That means it can happen at any time. Any time it can happen. That Christ could come for his church. Oh, wait a minute. I don't get it. Are you talking about the rapture, the second coming? I get confused at this point. Let me clear it up, hopefully. Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures, 1 Thessalonians 4, other places, Jesus Christ, before the tribulation, is coming for his church. Listen, he's coming for his church. At the end of the tribulation period, he's coming with his church. The rapture, he's coming for his church. How's he coming for his church? It's like a thief in the night, right? You don't know. It's like in a twinkle of an eye, it's going to happen. It's quick. You don't know it. He's coming for his church. He's going to take his church to be with all the other believers in heaven. Remember, we're just a small portion that's left right now. Based throughout, you know, believers' history, the redemption of Christ and those have been saved since then and those with him, more of our brothers and sisters certainly are in heaven, right, than are here on earth. There's just a small remainder left. So before the tribulation period, he is going to come for his church. Jesus Christ will. It'll be sudden. It'll be like a thief in the night. What are the things regarding these days? Jesus would say, as he spoke to his disciples, it says in Matthew 24, 3, "Now he sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus' first response, listen, he answers and he says to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you.'" To me, deception is the huge indicator of these last days. So much deception that's going on. Widespread deception. Spiritually, politically, economically. I mean, you just know, okay, what's really real? What's the real truth? What's really real? Deception. It's interesting because I think a partner to that, and again in Matthew 24, Jesus says in verse 12, "And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." And those are the two things today that probably concern me the greatest. I'm aware of the world events, but deception and the cold, cold, cold love in the body of Christ, outside the body of Christ, unlike any other time. You talk to other believers and you think, what? Where'd you get that at? What do you mean you can do that? What do you mean that's your liberty? What do you mean? I mean, where's Jesus? Where's the cross? Where's the brokenness? Where's the repentance? Where's the sense of, I want to live for Jesus? He's coming back. First, I want to live for myself. Yahoo! I can't do it like you, Martin. Hoorah! Is that good? Hoorah! But that's typical. That's so typical. And you have a whole culture of believers growing up, young believers, but they're not grounded in the Word. I'm not sure mom and dad are either. And it's the reality of the fruit of no Bible teaching, biblical illiteracy. Oh, really? In a sense of just, hey, you know, I gave my life to Christ. It's cool. It's good. What are you? Don't judge me. What? Who are you? Are you that deceived? Are you blind? Do you not have a pulse for Jesus, for his word, for his calling? You have no responsibility in your life for responding to this King of Kings and this Lord of Lords, the one who gave his life. He died on the cross for you. And it's like, you know what? I'm in on that. I got that covered. Now I'm just living my life. And that's what we see. And it grieves our heart. Lord, 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 where's the passion for you? Where's the love for you? Where's the priority for you? And we have all of our things. And we just, in a sense, It's like Jesus is in our carry-on luggage. That's it. It's like a little carry-on luggage for Jesus. And he wants to be integrated in our life. He wants to carry us. Jesus says it's going to be like in the days of Noah. That's what it's going to be like. And he's going to come with his church. And when he comes back from heaven with his church, it says every eye will see him. Every eye. There's two things, brothers and sisters. There's the tribulation period. And the church will be taken out. You say the word rapture isn't in the Bible. The word caught up, taken out, snatched away. 1 Thessalonians 4. We're removed from this earth. Why? Well, that doesn't seem fair. That just seems like you Christians want an easy way out. Listen, we're living for Jesus Christ right now. We're not looking for some sort of cakewalk Christianity. We're living for him. And those that want to live godly in Christ Jesus suffer greatly every day in different ways. Join the group, brothers and sisters. Join the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Join the fellowship of the suffering. Experience what it's like to say no to your flesh and yes to him. But it's for him. It's for Jesus. He's coming. If you knew for some reason that you would be facing face to face with Jesus in 4 weeks, in 4 months, what would change today? In 4 years, what would change today? Then why doesn't it change? He's coming back at any time for us. Again, he's coming for his church. It's quick, it's sudden, it's in a twinkle of an eye. He's coming for us. But when we come with the Lord back, every eye's going to see. Everyone's going to see it. Everyone will see it. And coming with him. Why would we not be here for the tribulation period? Great question. Some of you asked it. Here's the answer. What is the tribulation period? The tribulation period is God's wrath against all ungodliness. Everybody that has rejected Christ, God is going to judge in that time. It's the wrath of God, as in the days of Noah, where God judged the earth. God's judgment is coming. It's his wrath, his judgment. And the great news, listen, the great news is we've been saved from the wrath of God. God saved us from his wrath. It tells us specifically in the scriptures regarding this tribulation period and the wrath of God that is a part of that. In Romans chapter 5, it tells us this hope doesn't disappoint us because the love of God has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us much more. Having been justified by his blood, we are saved from the wrath to come. The wrath of God, we're saved from it. 1 Thessalonians 1, and at the end, 9 and 10, it tells us Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. I thank God for that. Think about this. Just think through it. I have a new person. They're interested in the Lord. I'm sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be saved from your sins. If you're saved, you go to heaven. If you're not saved, you go to hell. It's an eternal decision. But God in his grace is saying he loves you. He's always loved you and he wants to forgive you of your sins. What must I do? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe he died in your place for you. Believe and you'll be saved. Believe. And this person believes in Jesus, and they experience a sense of, I'm forgiven. God has forgiven me. Right. And as a pastor, as someone that's discipling that person, I go, what's next? We introduce you to the Word of God, and we want to feed you and take care of you. We'll explain the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and the infilling and empowering of the Holy Spirit. And God, he will help you. You won't live perfectly. You're going to make mistakes. You may make more mistakes. I'm not sure. But God's grace is going to help you through. What do I have to look forward to? Oh, the tribulation period. God's wrath is going to come down upon you and everyone on this earth. The wrath of God is coming upon you and be judging you, but be of good cheer. I mean, listen, if you hold a position, then hold it, okay? If you hold it, be responsible for what it is. No, the answer is Jesus Christ is coming for his church, but he's got work for us to do right now. He's called us to be a part of his kingdom work right now. Our citizenship is in heaven, but we're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The church age is coming to an end. And God is wrapping things up, and Jesus is coming. He's going to take us to be with all the other believers. Read about it, Revelation 4 and 5 in heaven. Read it. It's right there. And then he's going to come, Revelation 19, with his church and judge. Well, what happens during the tribulation period? That doesn't seem fair. I mean, God's just going to wipe and annihilate everybody out. Is that the God you serve? The God I serve is merciful and kind and long-suffering. And if you read the account, he immediately takes the nation of Israel. He takes 144,000. You can read it in Revelation 7. 12,000 from each tribe. 144. He seals them to be his ambassadors during that tribulation period. And many get saved and most will be martyred that get saved during that period of time. God is gracious and merciful and is his loving kindness. And that's who he is. And that's what happens all the time. Well, I'm just going to take my chance then. You talk about the tribulation period. Listen, I'm going to live for myself right now. Thanks for the tip. And I'm going to go into the tribulation period. And I'm going to live in the tribulation period. And I'm going to come to the Lord then. Oh, really? Let me say this. If you can't come to Christ right now because of his grace, his love, and his Holy Spirit, you will not come during the tribulation period. It won't happen. It won't happen. If what I'm saying does not move your heart towards Christ, his cross, and forgiveness, you're deceived. You're deceived if you think it's going to happen later. There's only one way, and it's Jesus Christ. And that's our message. And that's the hope. And when you have people out there as false prophets perverting the truth and the enemy getting on it, and then the show host and other people making mockery, listen, the truth is that he's coming back, and he's coming back at any time, and we need to be ready. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to be living in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be proclaiming Christ like never before, confident in what he's doing and what's going on, and being a part of that, being a part of the body of Christ, being a part of the work of God. And Jesus will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You know, but it's so hard right now. It is. It's harder than it's ever been. Life is harder than it's ever been. It's more difficult. There's more challenges. It's just things on top of each other. I live in the same world with you. I agree. It is. But God is just, his grace is more powerful than I've ever known right now. His Spirit more powerful. His truth, his word more alive. He's taking care of us. He's feeding us. He's using us. He's showing us. And you know why? This day makes me long for heaven. Because of that, I long for heaven. I long for the time that he sets up his kingdom on earth. Satan is put away. There's no ungodliness in national leadership or rulership. Jesus Christ reigns and rules, and we're with him. And we get to enjoy a period of time and for all eternity with him. And that's what happens in this time. My longing for him is stronger than it's ever been. And in practicality, when I do the math on my calculator and I look at my age, I'm closer than I've ever been to seeing him. I'm closer, but I'm ready. If today's the day, Lord, I'm ready for you. And if it's not, Lord, then praise God. What do you want to do tomorrow? And let the Lord work in your life and fellowship with him and his word and with the believers and come together and just really realize the significance of this day. Jesus Christ is coming at any time. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. We'll just have a closing prayer here, Ike, if that's okay. He's coming at any time. You know, it was really exciting when we were in California and just trying to work some things through. My daughter graduated. She's actually driving up right now. She'll spend a few weeks here with us and go back down. But when I was with her, when we were there, she says, "Hey, Dad, my car, it's kind of like making a little funny noise up front." Okay? And so it's just like, but she goes, "Don't worry about it. I'm going to get my oil changed and it'll be fine." Yeah. Wish it was that easy, babe. So anyways, I had thought about it that night, and the next day I just said, hey, Pam, I just want to help my daughter. I got to be dad here. And it's like in Southern California, it's like, okay, regarding getting this fixed, who wants to rip me off today? Okay, I don't know anybody here, right? But then it's like, Lord. So I just went on the internet and was just looking, okay, for break place or whatever. And God, just lead me right now. Lead me, Lord. And went to this place, talked to them. And he said, you're a Christian. Yeah, I am. Are you? He goes, yeah. We've been serving the Lord. We've had this shop for 30-some years. We've been believers the whole time. Well, where do you go to church? At Calvary Chapel. I'm actually a pastor. He goes, well, that's where we go. We go to the same church. Been there, for 30-some years. And we'll give you a little discount and everything. Look, I'm just so happy. This is an answer to prayer. Charge what you need. Get her fixed, And we picked it up. He gave the card to my daughter and just says, I know, Dad, you're away, but I'm here. And I could help your daughter anytime. Just we'll take care of it, All I'm saying is that you serve Jesus. You live for him. He's serving you. He's loving you. He's taking care of you and me. He is. Because he's alive. He's here. Father, we thank you this morning. And just to understand that as we're going through these Gospels, we need to really realize the day in which we live. And not postpone what you're wanting to do in our lives today. What you're wanting to do through our lives. Forgive us for our rebellion. Forgive us for our unbelief that causes deception. Unbelief is being deceived. Because if you're not believing Jesus, you're believing something or someone else. Forgive us for that, Lord. We want to be believers in you, in your word. Lord, forgive us for our lack of love. God, love needs to excel in our lives, from our lives. And we pray for that, Lord. That our life is to be about you. Our testimony is to be about you. And so we pray, God, for just this work. We also pray for your body of believers. That, Lord, even if some are not being informed, I pray that you would stir the heart of every believer to turn their heart, their eyes to your word, to revelation, to the word of God that speaks about the days in which we live. You said that you would bless those that read and obey these words. And we pray for that blessing for your church. In Jesus' name, amen.